afternoon translation, night and prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, again as we assemble to worship you in spirit and truth, we're thankful for the assurance of thy abiding presence, the realization of the catalyzation of spiritual vision as thy people assemble together, for the authority which you have bestowed upon thy household, the power which you have determined to bring forth from thy sons. We're thankful, our Father, that thy spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church, is the eternal institution. The powers of darkness cannot destroy it, and the forces of evil will not be triumphant over it. We're thankful for the purposes of thine, which you have unveiled in thy word for thy kingdom. We might recognize that thy kingdom is an eternal kingdom, growing and developing in the midst of these situations through which we pass. Grant unto us a thorough understanding and a knowledge of these things which we face. We might understand why it is we need the guidance of thy Spirit, why it is that we must be informed with thy word. We pray, our Father, for the great illumination of thy household, for their moving out of their sleep, for the dropping of apathy, for the lifting up of thy standards. We lift up our eyes from whence comes the assurance of our deliverance, recognizing that thy intervention in our affairs is the most necessary area of human history. So as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. The subject this afternoon, as we talk about binding the powers of darkness, is very significant that people in this sophisticated age understand that there is more than appears on the surface behind the way people think and act, especially in high areas of government throughout the world. We have often cited to you that the scriptures contain a blueprint for the kingdom of God. Makes it quite clear also that diametrically opposed to the kingdom of God is a world order. But this world order is classified as the world order by God throughout Old and New Testament. The eternal Yahweh, God of the universe, refers to his kingdom. Refers to his kingdom on earth and taught you to pray for the coming of that kingdom in fullness of power. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in the heavenly. We also have a clear vision of the fact that God, while he is the God of the universe, has a opposition that exists today in the world order. This opposition, of course, is Lucifer. The scriptures tell us much about him and much about the world order which he is in direction of. So it is that this world order is today made up of men and of nations. It is made up of areas of power and authority. It is warring against the kingdom of God. It desires to hold the earth. It's fully aware that the nations of God's kingdom are here. It knows that the spiritual center of those nations are its church when properly activated. It knows that the people that make the citizenship of these nations and are the members of this church are members of God's family. Now, this is more than some of the members of God's family know. In other words, the devil knows more about the family of God than many of the family of God know about the devil. If all things were brought to their remembrance, why, of course, they would remember things that happened before this world was framed, and this, of course, would bring acutely to them a greater understanding of some of their problems. But we are not at all interested this afternoon in exalting the devil because we're about to defeat him. We're going to see him lynched at the end of time as far as the earth is concerned. But I'm telling you this afternoon that what people do not realize is what it is that guides the forces of darkness. You wonder why that in a week like this we can hear the announcement from various platforms of the country that there's a secret agreement, for instance, between our country and communist, godless China. And that it's in this agreement, the agreement is that we and they will not use nuclear weapons and we will pledge to assist her admission to the United Nations. Everything that every Christian and American should be against. And still, it's not just something Mr. Goldwater said, because even out of Washington came the rumor, too, that they had made such a secret agreement and a secret treaty, but they were not going to release it until after election. And then we hear again of the design and the commitments to the acquiescence to the Soviet Union. And as they've been rattling the saber again, and they've been talking about the power of their bombs and all of these things. And we're told that we must have the kind of peace that acquiesces to this in order to assure ourselves a little more time, because They feel that the great time when they want to use this is still a few years away, but they'll use it now if we don't acquiesce and so forth. And we say, what can be in the minds of leaders? What could be in the minds of Johnson? What could be in the minds of any of these leaders that would trust the devil or his kingdom, or would try to make any area of agreement with the powers of darkness, which are our enemies and the enemies of God? Well, I think it's necessary that you understand that areas around government in many times are captured because we don't have the right men in these areas of authority. In the first place, if we turn over to Gospel of John, one of the things that Jesus said concerning Lucifer is quite clear here. And Jesus said that judgment was coming upon the enemy, and now is the judgment of this world. And now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, when Jesus said this, he was not talking about Christian nations. He's talking about the world order. Translators sometimes are not as lucid as they might be. And when God's talking about the world, they think about the earth. They think about the mountains, the ocean, and these things. The world that is being depicted here, and these discussions of the political areas of earth and the areas of power, is the world order. And that world order is made up of those that are not in allegiance to the Most High God and to His manifestation. Thus it is that the prince of this world, not the prince of the kingdom of God, but the prince of this world order, and of course he's the most powerful force on the planet from the standpoint of manpower by numbers, because the great majority of the peoples of this world are not made up of the race which God sent from heaven to earth to build his kingdom. They're not Adamites. The predominant numbers of peoples in the earth are out of Africa and out of Asia, and you're only 1/6 of the population today. But still, the world order under paganism, under superstition, under the darkness, and under its area of occultism, is under Lucifer, who Jesus refers to as the prince of this world. Now let's get this rather clear. He's talking about the governments of earth, he's talking about peoples and nations, and the prince of world government as against the kingdom of God is Lucifer. Now, if you're real realistic about this and realize that a fallen archangel with all the cunning that belongs to him, and with the area of revolution that would stir the forces, even of angelic hosts, to rebel against the Most High God, is actually a prince of the political orders of earth, and he has principalities, areas of authority, which he has set up with various kinds of fallen angels, and some people that are embodied, and some that are demon forces, for there are various kinds of people in the kingdom of Lucifer. There are invisible demonic forces that are never physically embodied. There are devil forces that are embodied. There are offspring devils that are his physical posterity. All these are in different categories, and they are in the earth today. And there are captive nations, there are peoples of this world that are in the bondage of darkness. Because of this, they have fallen for the deception and the cunning of Lucifer and his false prophets. They worship pagan gods, and they worship the powers of demonology. This is what has happened to the world, and this is why you have that terrible picture in the book of Romans of the way the world behaves. There is nothing that, as you look at the picture, that is more shocking than the depravity and all that is degenerate and evil that fills up the sin line of pagan peoples and pagan governments and peoples under darkness in this instance. And the scripture makes this clear. The reason why is because Satan influences have dominated men, stirred their lusts, and twisted their concepts, and this is a way of life with the world power. Now, when we talk about the nations of God's kingdom, we're talking about a posterity that grew out of his spiritual household, that possessed his spirit, the life of his life, and even in their fall, he brought them to a cognition and established again a line of purity from whence the seed would come. And from Seth to our time, we have watched the multiplication of this people. Until today, we are 1/6 of the world's population. This is one reason why I refuse to be defeated concerning the outcome of the program. I can believe God when I can see God taking one man's family against all the myriad hosts of the universe under Lucifer, 1/3 of the hosts of the universe concentrated on this, and still bring that family up to 1/6 of the world's population, and still have it surviving, and still have it the technological, intellectual, superior area of the earth. There is no doubt that in these problems which we face, we must become realists. And Jesus said now that Lucifer is the prince of this world order. Some people said, well, this was an acknowledging upon the part of Christ that in this planet the Lucifer was boss. No, it just meant that the world order and the powers of darkness were under Lucifer in the earth. without worry about the power of God being subject to the power of Lucifer, even in the earth where he dominates the majority of people. Because you'll remember that one day Lucifer, acknowledging that he possessed such power, sought to induce Christ to make it a coexistent arrangement with him. You remember that as Christ had left the waters of baptism and had set up an example for his people and went into the wilderness, it says there to be tempted, because he, in his foreknowledge, knew that the devil was on his way to meet him. And when he went out in the wilderness, here comes Lucifer. Lucifer, making himself just as attractive as it's possible to be, and moves up with a kind of cold respect and says hello to Jesus and said, "Now, I just want to make a little deal with you. Why should you be fighting with the kingdom that I see you building? I know what you're here for, and why should you and I fight? Why don't we coexist? It's a pretty good-sized world. Why don't we share it?" And you know, that's the idea of a lot of our politicians today. They say, "Why, this is not a good thing. There's no great love in the heart of people that don't want to get along. The Christians should learn to love one another," and they want to preach us the gospel. Is this a strange thing, that there is no greater love than God has manifested in his love towards us and his love towards the world in sending you, his family, from heaven to earth to build his kingdom? But still in this process, it was not that we acquiesced to evil, but that we defeat evil and we break its power and we liberate the world from all of the heartache and evil that has come upon it. This is why we are a special people. We are the household of God. For this task we have been sent into the world. There is no other process. Friendship with this world order puts us at enmity with God. And the only thing that pleases God is when we have enmity with the world order. That doesn't mean I'm mad at all Chinamen or all Negroes. I'm just mad at all Chinamen and Negroes that are serving the devil. And I get very angry when they move out against the kingdom of God, and we're not about to surrender to them, and we're going to defeat the whole lot. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world." Why? Because I'm here, because my children are here, because my kingdom's coming in, and we're going to throw the devil out. Pull him right down to his throat. Remember when he came up to Jesus and said, "Let's make a deal. Now you're the God of heaven and earth, but you know this is my part of the Milky Way. You know that I'm here on the earth. You know that this was rightfully assigned to me as an archangel, and now I still have it, and I'm prince of the world order. Now, you just recognize me here, and I'll recognize you, and we'll get along. You just for one moment acknowledge that I'm the prince here, and we'll get along." Jesus turned, he looked at the devil, and he says, "Thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy God." I think it's a good thing for you to realize that there isn't one unit of existing intelligence in the universe that doesn't have one sovereign God above it all. There is not one thing that exists anywhere, God or man, angels or devils, that have any other God, even though they worship the darkness and these pagan gods. These gods are no gods, not to God. They may be gods to those that worship them. They may be gods to their own self-centered interests. They may be gods to themselves, as Lucifer said, "I'll be like the Most High God," but he hasn't made it yet, and he knows it. But he thought he could trick Jesus into acknowledging for a moment, blow up the whole scheme of these things. You know something, my friends? Anybody who thinks they ever catch God off guard is only fooling themselves. You just can't do that to omniscience. It never forgets. It always knows. So under this instance, Jesus said, "Thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God." So he said, "My things are getting worse." Yes, they increase in their badness as it relates to us because they increase the concentration of their design to try to destroy the kingdom. Let me point out something to you. If we turn over in the book of Thessalonians, we learn something about the darkness. In fact, we discover its relationship to certain courses of events that transpire. And in this we will find the kind of a world you're living in at this present moment. And you also find out something about the devil, too, and it's good to know this. We're told that these things that transpire, now, be not shaken in your mind. You know one thing, people get all shook. You've heard them say that, "My, I'm all shaken." That's biblical. It says, just don't be shook. It says, be not shaken in your mind. And be not troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by a letter. Some people get all excited. They say, "My, let's see, did that just exactly fulfill that passage, or does this word mean something else?" Say, never mind that. Just take the picture and catch the whole concept and find, instead of dividing and fighting over the translation of a word, you better get on with the battle. We got more silly Christians trying to figure out where they stand on some doctrinal position, and they're fighting back and forth with doctrine. The devil's just as satisfied to have them fighting doctrine while he takes over with corruption and with vice and with empires and governments, just so they'll stay off in the corner and battle one another. Now, he said, "We want to tell you something about the day of Christ, and I can't think of a better thing to talk about right now. Because this is the day that is not only approaching, but we're in the day of the Lord. We're right at the climactic hour. We're in a period that is very shortly going to see its consummation for the greatest enduring of power and victory that any race ever possessed. For the best thing that has ever happened to the earth." Now, somebody said, "When's it going to happen?" Now, don't let anybody deceive you, Apostle Paul said, and well, good, that's almost 1900 years ago he's writing. "It isn't going to happen tomorrow," he said. "But don't let any man deceive you about it, because there's certain things that the Lord tells me are going to happen." So he said, "I'll tell you. Let no man deceive you," he said, "for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin, the powerful emperor of the world order, will be revealed as Satan's own child on the throne." He'll be some Jew. Now he said, "I want you to understand this." Now you say, "Well, surely the Apostle Paul wasn't talking literally." Yes, he was. "Let no man deceive you. First, there comes out of what looks like the great strength of the kingdom, great nations of God, with the church in the middle, and then there comes a falling away." And you have watched this in this century. You've watched a falling away. Now, this doesn't mean that these people are eternally doomed, but it does mean that they have brought upon our civilization, our society, and our culture the kind of bondage in which Luciferian influences surround our presidents and satanic power moves in. I read a book the other day. Maybe you read that book, too. Why, when men that reach high power can be associated with two or three murders and still get away with it and reach some high offices, it's about time we changed everybody at the high level that could be associated with evil. You say, "How can these things be?" Well, instead of just wondering how they be, they are. So let's take a look at this. The days come when there has come a falling away. I, of course, still say that we have watched the Spirit of God is starting to pick it up now and push it the other way, but you watch the falling away. You watch the great ecclesiastical order of the churches of Christ not containing a majority of ministers that believe in His deity. Now, even a magazine like The Post tells you that a few weeks ago. The majority of ministers inside the Protestant churches of America did not believe in the deity of Christ should be unfrocked and put out in the field to work for change. These fellows never do anything anyhow but destroy people's minds if they can, holding them captive when they get a chance. Now listen. Because not only is there a falling away first, but this falling away is all over the world, sliding into the seduction of all areas of deceitfulness and cunning, which is the work of the lying nature of Satan's false prophets. Thus it is, there comes a falling away first, not only in the faith of great numbers of peoples because of the false prophets that have moved in, but also in their conduct, in the kind of men they select to handle their government or let them handle their money. You know, there are people that will elect people to government, to lead governments, that you wouldn't trust inside your own business with your cash register. Now, the last thing you want to do is send somebody to run a nation that you wouldn't want to trust with a cash register. The last thing you want to do is select people to operate in areas of high responsibility who you would want to be instructing your children. They say, "Get them off to Washington." So you send the local rascals to Washington. Now, this isn't talking about all of the representatives that arrive there, but too many. But we've come to a falling away first. I don't think there's any doubt about the fact. The majority of our race were almost totally Christian as far as their acknowledgement and acceptance from a few years ago. 50 years ago, the majority. Today, still, the majority is Christian, but preeminently factor that I want to point out is there has come a falling away. not only from truth, but they don't even think they can run a church if it isn't operated with all kinds of socials and every other kind of an operation instead of just pronouncing the Word of God. In other words, the church and the gospel apparently doesn't have the appeal anymore that will draw people, according to the attitude of the average church today, so that they'll come to hear the Word of God and they'll put their tithes and offerings in to support it. So they've got to run everything else in order to keep a church going. Well, that's a falling away. Whenever you have to work that hard to keep a church going, and this is happening all over America, denominational after denomination, you can soon discover something. Now, there's anything wrong with people getting together to have a social time, and Christians should get together anyhow, but when you can't even operate a church without this operation, let me tell you, it's a falling away. Now, we know this is true, and we're not narrow-minded, and we're not battling all the things that have transpired, but I just cite to you that we are in a period in which they said it would be a falling away first. This arrived. Now, then what was going to happen? It said, then would this man of sin, the satanic leader of a world order, who opposes and exalts himself above God, remember, therefore, that this thing will transpire then. Now, what I want to call your attention to, the mystery of iniquity, or the word lawlessness. This word here in the Greek that's translated iniquity or evil is dark lawlessness. Now, this could even be more applicable today because out of the darkness comes lawlessness, and right now the most lawless we have are darkies, aren't they? But anyhow, in the climax of this hour, we have the mystery of lawlessness. It already works. It's moving everywhere. And only he that now letteth or hindereth will hinder until he removes his hindrance. Now, there's some people don't know how to interpret this. They don't know what it means, except that there is an influence here in which God is restraining the devil. Now, let's get this clear. It proves who still runs the universe. That bad as the devil would be more devilish if he didn't have a rope on him. If the devil had his way, every one of you would be stood up against the wall and shot. And I wouldn't want to trust a lot of people in power today that wouldn't do that if they thought they could get away with it. Because the one thing they'd do, they'd shoot every preacher that spoke out against them and every school teacher that wouldn't teach their doctrine. That you can be sure of. To say it can't happen here. The only reason why it can't happen here, there's too many of us are awake. Now, God says, I hinder it. And I have hindered the final design of the devil to just say, well, all right, now I'm going to take the world over. And he hindered it on up until lately. And he said, I'll hinder it until I remove the hindrance, and then the devil's going to go all out. He's going to say, we're going to have one world, one government. It's going to be under my power, and everything's going to join together. Religions are all going to fold up under me. Everything's going to acknowledge me in my system. But don't we liquidate it. So when's that coming? Well, it's been here. You know, he's a pretty cunning devil. And when the restraint was lifted, you say, why didn't God keep him tied up? Why did he put any restraint, lift the restraint? Because he wanted to bring it to a head now. The time's right. So the Lord let the devil loose, and he is going all out right now. There's not a thing that he's going to leave unturned. He'll even manifest himself a little bit more. Now the Scripture also makes it clear that this is the wicked one, who now therefore will go, as the hindrance is removed, he will go all out with all of his powers, lying signs, strange wonders of his development. He's talking about how he's going to give you Saturn and the moon. He'll come up with all kinds of technological wonders and promise you that everybody's going to be wealthy from the day they're born to the day they die and never have any more poverty, nothing to worry about. Nobody will be poor. He'll come up with every other kind of a lying story because, and all of his minions will tell Satan's story, try to capture men. Now, I don't think we got a top boy here, but he's around. Lucifer has in the earth today his satanic administrator. In fact, I think one of the great news agencies of the world was Kenneth DeCourcy's news bulletin, and he's in the penitentiary today because he dared to put his finger upon this area of darkness. So I point out to you that the prince of the powers of this world, as Jesus announced, was Lucifer. That he has an area of power that puts him over the world, but not over the nations of God's kingdom. that it is an area of government, and God has restrained him from taking over the world or making his final attempt, and has now is releasing this by withdrawing the restraining influence. Now, some people have the idea that this means God's taking his Holy Spirit out of the world, and then everybody else that has the Holy Spirit have to go with it. And that's irresponsible and not so. If God took the Holy Spirit out of the world, it would fall all up and crumble in powder and go whirling off into the solar system. And if God took everybody that had his Spirit in the world out, there wouldn't be anything left but one wild jungle. For you're the salt of the earth, and the salt has not yet lost its savor. What God said is he's going to lift the hindering influence and let the devil go all out. And this is because his time's short and the end has come, and God says there's not one single temptation, not one single power walk that he can use against you that can be triumphant that he hasn't already made a way of escape and a power to defeat it. He'll not even permit you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear. Oh, I don't want to have to recover all this that we've discussed, but I point out to you, therefore, that Lucifer controls governments in the world. This is the power of darkness in the world. But ye are not of the world, because ye are the kingdom, the household, the occupying force. Now we point out, therefore, that the powers that will control the world order in this climactic hour of the day of the Lord is that wicked one. And it shall be revealed, then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom Yahweh shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness, and with all unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the truth, because they don't want to be saved from their transgressions. Therefore, they are destroyed in the struggles because they believe not the truth and had pleasure in the unrighteousness with which they have made their hour of destiny with the beast. Now let's take a look at this factor. We tell you that the powers of darkness, therefore, rule world orders. These are the principalities we previously discussed. We also say that these spirits and demonic forces try to capture men. Now let's find out who we are. We're the household of God. We're the sons of the Eternal. We say, Our Father which art in heaven, because His Spirit makes it clear. Now He said, I want you to know. Over here in Matthew, when He sent out His disciples, this is what He said. He sent out these 12 disciples, and He sent them out to do a great task. Now He said, I give you power. It's rather significant here. He said, now, I give you power, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And with this power, whatsoever things ye bind, ye take the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever ye bind shall be bound, whatsoever things ye loose shall be loosed. Therefore, he said, it shall not only be bound when you bind it in earth, I'll bind it from the heavens, and when you loose it in earth, I'll loose it from the heavens. This to his disciples. And he charged them not to tell all about this yet. His disciples move out, and they have been sent on several missions. And they come back, according to Luke, in the 10th chapter, and they're very excited. And they return with great joy. They said, Jesus, even the devils have become subject to thy name. Why, we went out and we preached, and along came the Jews to suppress us, and demon powers, and wild types of strange phenomena. Everything came to stop us. And we said, you have to depart in the name of Yahshua. And he said, the devils broke. They left. They screamed. They cursed. They ran. The 70 were excited. They said, we have discovered something. We discovered there was power in your name. Why, Jesus said, didn't I tell you that I saw Satan fall out of the heavens? Why shouldn't there be power in the name? Now you're happy because you've discovered you got power. He said, listen to this now. He said, behold, I gave you power. I gave you power to tread on the serpents and on the scorpions. And they're not all little bugs, by the way. Jesus has already proved who the generations of the serpents are and the vipers. He said, I gave you power to tread on the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. If you think God's worried about the insect kingdom, why, you're just way out. When he said, I gave you power to tread on the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, he was talking about the powers of darkness and the forces of evil that are embodied here, the serpent people. And he said, I have given you this power over all the power of the enemy. If there's any one assurance that you have by direction today, it's the assurance that God has given you as his household that he has given you power over all the power and works of the enemy. So you don't have to be defeated. Someone said, well, I don't like the way things are going. Well, you're just on the first inning. Don't be worried about how it's going to go. Just get in there and play. Listen. I gave you power over all the works of the enemy. Now, therefore, nothing can by any means really hurt you. Well, you say, sure gives us trouble, but you're not really hurt. When this thing's over, you'll discover that I have given you the ends of the earth, the Father says. We start to weigh what we evaluate because we have an investment. You know, you've worked through some things, you've gathered it, you've invested it, you've got an investment in the kingdom. If you haven't got an investment in it this afternoon, you better shake loose and help spread the word because you better get an investment in it. Because you've got to get an investment in it to get a return. We not only have an investment in the kingdom, but it's going to come in 100-fold. And the Lord has promised this. So we don't worry about this, and we don't worry about the investment at the moment, because we live for the victory, which is assured. But listen to this. He said, therefore, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, notwithstanding in this, you rejoice, but don't just rejoice over this. And they just come back all enthusiastic that in his name they could bind the powers. He said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, I've given you power to bind the enemy. And they bound some of these devils. And they came back and they were all happy. He said, now, you know what you should be happier about? The fact that you had that you could do it because your names were written in heaven. Do these now. Jesus said, more than rejoice over this victory, over these demons, that the spirits are subject to you, rejoice over the fact that your names were written in heaven and that you're my children and I'm your Father. So that's the biggest thing you can know. And when you know this, this other thing just becomes automatic. You'll start using it more and more. You'll command with a living word, and out of you goes the living word, and out of you goes the judgment. Listen. We turn to the declaration that we find over in Acts. First place we come on this is, of course, over in the 8th chapter of Acts, where Philip's ministry is going out. He's been preaching the gospel, and he went down to Samaria, where there were still some Ephraimites and some of the house of Joseph and among the Samaritans that hadn't migrated earlier, you know. And down there is Philip preaching to them. And we read here that Philip went down to Samaria, and he was preaching to the people, and they were hearing Philip, and they saw miracles. God was healing the sick, and spiritual power was moving under these Holy Spirit-endowed ministers at the beginning of the church age. Now, and there's great joy in the city. Some people had been obsessed by evil spirits. You say, how could this happen? Because they had a master at this, putting bondage on people. You know there's a lot of people that are obsessed by evil spirits in America today? Well, you say, well, they're good people, they're our race. That's right, but they have fallen for the area of the enemy until it has bound their thinking. And their thinking is held partially captive, and this is obsessing their consciousness, and they're not even possession of their own mind. So this happened when Philip went down and found out that some of these people were caught up in error and evil doctrines. With the illumination of the power of the Spirit, painted before them the purpose of God, gave them a new clear vision, set them free from the superstitions. And there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city practiced sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, and he gave out that he was a great and mighty powerful one. He bewitched the people. He sorcered them. So he said, I don't believe in witchcraft. You don't? You better go back and read your Bible. Tells you about them and what should be done to them. And more than this, let me tell you this. It warns you that more deadly than those that just make war on the body are those that capture the mind. And this is an area of sorcery and of witchcraft that is done mechanically as well as with design. So under this instance, back in the Old Testament, are surrounding all of the various rulers of world orders were their sorcerers. And these sorcerers used every type of witchcraft and every type of divining and every type of magical power. Someone said, there isn't any magical power. A magical power, as is referred to in the scriptures under various words, is satanic energies as against divine energies. A miracle is the application of spiritual and divine energy to an immediate problem to bring about transition in its condition. And this is of God. And the occult use of powers is to win people or to enslave them with satanic cunning. So we read that here is one, and the sorcerer. And all the people in Samaria gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man has the great power of God, because this rascal was out. You know, the most deadly thing is a sorcerer who speaks in the name of God. Because people hear the words of the sorcerer and they think they're hearing the voice of God. If they haven't been enlightened, if they don't know the word, they think this is the word of the Most High. Thus we have false religions and we have sorcerers. And these sorcerers today can be in some of the largest churches of America. And they're producing a sorcery that they're not even the master of. Well, let's take a look at this one that bothered Philip. Power of darkness. And all the people in this town before Philip arrived gave heed to the sorcerer. And to him they gave regard, because of a long time he had been bewitching them with his sorceries. You know, the hardest thing to do is have people give up a witch. That's real hard. Well, you say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, my friends, you just try to change the mind of some of these witch people across America. That's why you find there's a great struggle on right now in America's life. Now we discover this. But when they believed Peter, or Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and concerning the name of Yahshua, and had been baptized, these people turned from the sorcerer. They were free by the word. And you know how many people have been freed by the gospel of the kingdom too. When they found out what it was all about and who they are, what the kingdom was about, you think you're going to get them back under this old hypnotic pattern before that Lucifer can take over? You can't get them back. They might have a sorcerer or two that didn't move in the direction of the program for the things of God. They come and go, but listen. And now, when all these people were now accepting Christ and following Philip, the old Jew Simon sat around and said, now look, I'm losing my following. If I can't lick them, I'll join them. And it says, then Simon said he believed and he got baptized too. Now we got the old witch in the church, the old sorcerers right in here in the midst. It's nothing new. Someone tried to tell me about how many of a certain people they knew were in one church and they were all converted. I said, God help that church. When you get the devil on the inside, he came in for a reason. He's going to put his hand in somebody's pocket just as surely as the only reason he came there. Now, listen. You just read down this 8th chapter. So Simon gets in, says, all right, Philip's taken over. He's got more power than I have. The Holy Spirit with them is more powerful than by witchcraft. I'll join him. So he said, I believe. Got into the church. Name's on the book. Went down and was baptized. And when the word reached Jerusalem about the success in Samaria, Peter and some of the apostles, and he was one of the leading proponents of the message, and God had given him great responsibility, and Peter comes over. Here comes a powerful bishop with all of those around him now to speak. Now listen. And when Peter arrived with John and they started to preach, the spiritual power of God's Holy Spirit started to touch men's bodies, they were healed. They were still carrying the dynamic of Pentecost. And as they were healed from their physical ailments, and they laid hands on them, and people received the great spiritual impetus of God's Holy Spirit. Their minds became illuminated. Out of all their superstitions fell away. A great miraculous situation. Now the old sorcerer joined the church to get in. He comes up now with a bag of money. He says, all right, Peter, sell me the power. I've got to get back in business. Now listen to what it says. And when Simon saw them laid on the hands by the apostles and the Holy Spirit that went forth, he offered the money. He says, give me this power, I'll buy it. I want this power to go out and put my hands on people and get these results. You've got more than I have. I want it. Now, there's one thing about Peter. Peter just stood up, and we know how Peter acts when they stir him up, and Peter under the Holy Spirit acts the same way, only more power. Peter said, "Thy money perish with thee." I wish every preacher would tell sorcerers this. We've got more sorcerers came into the church with a money bag, and that's how they've got in, a lot of them. He says, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou think that you can buy the gift of God with money." Well, Peter says, "I can understand this, because I know what you are." And he says, "Thou hast neither part nor a lot in this matter." So you couldn't understand it, you couldn't get it, because you don't have any part nor lot in this matter. No other Jew has either. You don't have any part nor lot in this matter. Therefore, he said, "You better repent of thy wickedness, because you're in trouble. I perceive that thou art the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." So this is how God talked through Peter to this sorcerer. And they had to run him out. He thought he was going to buy his way in, but he joined and he got on the inside. You know, the greatest movements we have in America today that were activated by a desire to save our country from the sorcery of the witchcraft of communism and everything that went along, and then they let some of the sorcerers that propounded this concoction join. And they got right in the middle and started to break their sorcery out inside. Let me tell you, until you get God's enemies out, you can never accomplish a basic objective with any instrument. Let's go on in the book of Acts. We go on in the book of Acts and we discover that the sorcerers are not just this one. We have this one, we have more of them. We find they bothered Paul too. When Paul went out to preach, why, along came sorcerers, and he had to run them off. So they do exist. We turn over in the book of Galatians. In the first chapter of the book of Galatians, we read concerning the greatness of God, who gave himself for our transgressions, that he might deliver us from the control of the evil world order according to the will of the Father. So you've got to understand that a part of the work of God is not only establishing his kingdom and delivering his people from this world order of the darkness, and it's a reality, it's a real world order. We go over into the book of Ephesians. Now we read these words. "Whereof in times past ye walked according to the world and according to the prince of the power of the air, and you acted with the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." And then you can read on concerning all of the evil that this puts on men and women. And in Ephesians, and God, and the book of Ephesians are written to the elect of God according to God's foreknowledge. It's written unto the children that were with the Father in the bosom of the Father before the world was framed. But still, in the salvation of God's purpose, he had to liberate these people first from the prince of the powers of the air, who through demon suggestion try to get them to violate divine law by thinking wrong and acting wrong. So one of the great works of God in his salvation was to save men from sin, and this meant they had to think right. The Holy Spirit of God had to bring them back by renewing their minds. "Be not conformed to the world, the way it thinks, or the way it acts, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." The book of Ephesians carries this thought on to us. We go a little farther concerning this area, and over in the book of Colossians. And this is the great book that tells us concerning Christ, all things were made by him, without him was not anything made, he was before all things, by him all things consist, the eternal, almighty, majestic God. "But you as offspring were in earth, and he hath now delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into an awareness now of your responsibility in his kingdom." Now, you know, a lot of people that don't know they're in the kingdom, they want to go into heaven to get in the kingdom. And God told them to pray thy kingdom come on earth. Now, isn't that a strange travesty? Here God says, "You pray thy kingdom come on earth, you help bring it in." A whole lot of people want to pray to go to heaven to get there. Now, we're not angry with heaven, you know. It's a pretty good place. We spent more time there than we ever spent here. In fact, we probably wouldn't have come down here if we knew what it was going to be like. But we thought that we knew all about it when we said, yes, we're willing to go. We'll go, Father. And he said, yes, this is what's going to happen. He told us ahead of time. He was right. God's always right. Now listen. We turn in the scriptures now over to 1 John. He's told us about the powers of darkness, and he tells us that they come in various categories. We have those that are directly anti-Christ. If you want to know who anti-Christ in the world is today, it's those that deny that Jesus is the Christ. The same are anti-Christ, and from such turn away. Now, therefore, you better try the spirits. Because there are spirits which are not of God, and find out whether the spirits are of God or whether they are false prophets that have now gone out from the world order. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist that ye have heard should come. Now this is in the main line of Satan's own offspring, the real Antichrist devils. Now there's another bunch that are under sorcery, and they know that this is God. And they're clever enough to know that they couldn't get in to the church if they didn't profess it. So they therefore make this profession in order that they might bind man. The other day I listened to a minister telling about how it was not the church's responsibility to get stirred up or involved in political campaigns or any of the problems of the world, but to just draw into a little quiet place and worship together, God take them away, and all the problems would be left here in the world, and the world get what was coming to them. Now listen. He said, you know, we're not here. We're not actually here. Our minds are somewhere else. And he said, don't worry about it. Just keep out of it. Now ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I have put you in the world to do what? To overthrow all the works of the devil. That means that you're here to clean the earth up. Did you know that? To stamp out Satan's power in all the great nations of his kingdom, to build that kingdom so strong that you set people free. And this is why back in Isaiah, God says, you ask me of things concerning my sons, command ye me. For I'm going to use them to set the captives free all over the world. They're going to build my new order, my new city. The world's going to know that they're my children and I've loved them. Therefore, the world order speaks and thinks and operates, and the world hears the world order and follows them. We had a couple of devils in here last Friday night. They sat in the back. They said, this is the worst we've ever heard. This is terrible. And out they went. Sure, it was. It wasn't anything the world would like at all. They don't want to be unseated. They don't want to be identified. They don't even want you to quote their own reporters and read their newspapers. The one thing the world doesn't want you to do is read their newspapers with any understanding. Listen. I turn over to the scriptures, and it says in the 5th chapter, 1 John, the 19th verse, and we know that we are of God, but the whole world order lies in wickedness. This is not the kingdom of God. This is the nations of his kingdom. This isn't his household, but the whole world order lies in wickedness. And I'm going to tell you that we've let too much of the world order come into the kingdom, and Washington lies in wickedness until we clean it up. Over in the 2nd chapter of Revelation, I read these words about Pergamos. Pergamos is a little island. You go out in the Aegean Sea and you'll see the island of Pergamos. It was quite a bastion in that day. Its walled towers, its embattlements, as well as its communities. And when the Luciferian forces of world Jewry watched their Babylonian empire crumble, when they saw what happened and those that were not immediately taken into Medo-Persia managed to save much of their riches, and they got over on the Isle of Pergamos. And they set up the headquarters of International Kahila Jewelry on Pergamos. Here their world gold buyers started to move out, and with the power of their treasures, they tried to gain control of not only Greece and Rome, but they were able to accomplish some of this. Over in the 2nd chapter of Revelation, well, we discover that Some of the missionary activities had reached these Scythians, which were the same as the Greeks, and all the peoples of that group, all of them a part of Israel, and many of them lived here and there, much of the same race scattered through the Aegean Sea. These churches became symbolic in the pattern of time and in measure, and so God sends this message to the church of Pergamos, to this angel. I know thy works, and I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast to thy name, and thou hast not denied the faith. Therefore God gives his promise to he that overcomes. But I know where you live. You'll live in the place where Satan has his seat, not in the sky, on earth, and not an island at that time. Let me tell you that out of that Pergamus went the manipulative control leader of Rome, went the establishment of a king in Palestine of these same people over Judah and Benjamin. But the thing that I'm pointing out is that God speaks to a church and says, I even know that where you dwell happens to be the country where Satan has his seat of power. Lots of people thought Satan had a seat of power in some nebulous perdition somewhere and that it wasn't out here on the earth. I tell you that the prince of the powers of the air and the prince of this world is in the final stages of the final scenes of trying to take over the world, and he has the world at large under his control, but he wants the kingdom too. And this is his mistake. But we are not only in the day of the Lord. We've had our falling away. We are now having a reawakening. We're now having a quickening of the consciousness. We're now having the work of the Spirit of God. We're now watching the beginning of deliverance. And Satan is about. You're going to discover this, that what he said, I have given you power, but whatsoever ye bind shall be bound, and whatsoever ye loose shall be loosed. We haven't the time to go on to all the facets of this, but let me tell you that there is greater power in his name than you have any idea. When you identify yourself as a member of that family and speak as his issue and speak as a child of God in that name, and they flee it. You say, well, what's the magical power? It's spiritual power. They fear the name, and they must obey it, and they must obey the voice that speaks with the word with authority. So we tell you again, that your awareness, and remember this now, your relationship to it. Start binding the enemy and the catalyst of the children of spirit in this nation, binding the enemy in the mighty name of Yahweh, in the majesty of his embodied and fulfilled with as Messiah Yahshua. And you may say the word Jesus because the name has not yet been put back in the mouth of all people, but the fact remains it will come back, and we're not just going to use a term that was a translated pattern of Greek or readopted in English. The name will come back. But remember, whatsoever ye ask in my name, and if two of you now, I've given you power to bind the darkness, and if two of you shall agree as touching anything under heaven, it shall be done. Someone said, well, I prayed with somebody else, and we agreed that we wanted something. It didn't happen. Well, it wasn't, you didn't pray under heaven. You prayed under your own desire and your own will, and it wasn't the will of heaven. My friends, when you know the blueprint of God, when you see what God says he's going to do, and you coordinate every bit of your energies and efforts in this direction, and two of you can agree as touching anything to help bring it to fulfillment, and it'll happen. I think it's about time we made some great changes in America, and that Christians catalyzed their spiritual force and commanded that these forces of darkness leave in the mighty name of Yahweh. Then we can understand what is meant when it tells us here that like unclean frogs out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, go these spirits of devils working their strange miracles of capturing the minds of men, the rulers of earth. But what they're actually getting them there for, they want to destroy the kingdom, and they're gathering them there for the final stage of battle to wipe out the people of God. No wonder they plan on trying to get you in mental institutions and try to make it impossible for you to defend yourself, try to put you under United Nations police force, try to take over your economy, try to war against you if necessary. They are planning this, and they're gathering those stoops and stooges of this program because they've been deceived by the darkness. Now, isn't what it says? It says, therefore, they're gathering them there to this great day of the battle of God Almighty. And these devils with their lying tongues have become the emissaries of this. And it's described here then in Revelation as Armageddon. Well, you say, where is God now? He said, I took off the hindrance and I let him go. And they're going to bring them right down to defeat, where I'm going to demonstrate the power of my sons, where we're going to accomplish the victory. You know, back in the Old Testament, we as a Israel people then were in trouble too. The first place, we had a person that acted like Roosevelt and married a not too different kind of a wife named Jezebel. And this Jezebel brought in all the Baal priests she could bring into the country, because her husband wanted to please her, and she wanted her own priests and her own temples, and they brought in Jezebel's priests. When they got them in there, they turned from the worship of Yahweh, and they started to make it popular with the upper elite that they serve these other gods, so they wouldn't get an appointment, and they wouldn't get a new dam, they wouldn't get any new seating, and they wouldn't get any subsidy in their particular area unless they gave homage to Jezebel's procedures. Well, it continued to go from bad to even a more increased state of the same thing, until we have the prophet speaking out, and even the prophet had to hide before they got through, because most of the people had been taken over by the subsidies and the promises. God just turned off the water, and they had a big drought in the land, but they thought they were still doing good. We had a drought once, remember? Wanted to have a day of prayer for it, and we had a president then that said, just never mind, I'll take care of that. That's right. That actually happened once. That's the fellow the devil was. Didn't even want to get down where he was, afraid he'd lose his job. Listen. The picture here shows that Ahab, therefore, was listening to the darkness, and all these evil prophets of the false prophets were telling him what to do. So God said, all right, I've got him all set up now. There's an enemy going to come along, and I've got to get him down to that battle spot. So let's go back and see what transpires. You go back in the book of Kings. And God said, I've got to get this fellow Ahab down to Ramoth-Gilead. And there at Ramoth-Gilead, they're going to kill him. He's going to get down there, carrying out his evil ways. He's going to get caught in his battle and go kill him down there. Well, you say, God didn't have any part of this. Well, look, even the devils were subject. Now, listen to what happened. So God called the ministering spirits, and every spirit that was round about had to show up. And along come one of the lion ones, too. And the spirit stood before Yahweh and said, what shall I do? I shall persuade him. And the Lord said, all right, you go. Therefore, the lying spirit went into the mouth of the false prophets, and they persuaded him, and they prevailed, and he went. And behold, God had permitted the lying spirit, which came out of the mouth of the false prophets, to persuade the king that was under their bondage, to bring him down to his destruction. That's happened already. So when I turn over to the book of Revelation, and God said that all these lying spirits out of the mouth, the dragon out of the mouth, the beast out of the mouth, the false prophet, are going to gather all these silly rulers down to Armageddon, and that's where they get defeated. I believe every word of it. God's proven it happens before. And all the time they're trying to tell you about peace, they're all ready to rush down and hang themselves. The only peace they want is peace with the devil. There isn't any peace for God's kingdom, and woe unto these people that have been entrapped by the lying spirits. Now ye are the light of the world, and because you're the light of the world, you can't be still about it. And you can't stop shining. You can't put it under a bushel basket, because you're an order that's pretty big. You're not only God's new world order, you're His spiritual seed, you're His household, you're His truth, you're expanding. You couldn't put all the right wing under cover and say nobody's going to hear them, because they don't think that way. You can't put all of the light of the world and cover it up, because you're the light of the world. You're like a city set on a hill. You glow and they can see it. You speak and they can hear it. So because of this, therefore, the enemy says, there's my problem. God says this, they're ruled over by the power of the darkness. Now the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. They know there's a light, but they don't know what it's all about. They war against it. And you know the one thing about darkness warring against light? I have never known of darkness that could snuff out light. That is, as far as the illumination was concerned. There have been occult powers that pinched out candles. And somebody like Humphrey talks about lighting a candle. The candle he is lighting is a red one. But I'm going to point out to you that he has given you power to bind the darkness. And you can do it in his name. We can talk about other things and other symbols by which it can be done. But if you start aligning your thinking with heaven, start aligning your thinking with the purpose of your inheritance and your father and his program for the earth, and start binding together the darkness and see what happens. And I can assure you that the first thing to do is to get the sorcerers out of the church and get the sorcerers out of power in the kingdom, because they can't buy it with money, even though they have bought a lot of false things in the past. Do not forget that these are climactic hours. You as the sons and daughters of God are going to shine with glory like your Father. A lot of people thought that Jesus was unable to protect himself, and thus he had to flee. And now he went down into Galilee to flee. He could have protected himself at any time, but to do this would have upset the whole program. So this is why they thought that he was in fear, and they thought he had to flee. And they crucified him, thinking they had accomplished their final objective, and the power of his resurrection blew all of Satan's hopes apart. He never quits. He's a persevering rascal, but I'm going to tell you something. All of evil, all of its lawlessness, all of the mystery of iniquity, which we have been discussing, has now been loosed on the world, and you're living in the hardest, most extensive testing time of human history. And God said, I'm going to produce gold tried in the fire. I'm going to tell you this. But once in a while someone worries and says, well, along comes the forces of darkness. It splits here. It puts out trouble there. It skillfully moves here. Let me tell you something. God winnows wheat. He tries and skims off material, and he produces gold tried in the fire. Don't ever worry about ultimately what God's going to do. You're going to see more people reaching out for truth than you ever saw in your life. You're not going to find auditoriums big enough to meet people before this thing happens, when this thing suddenly moves with crescendo. Let me tell you something. If around the 21st of this month, the political alignments are met with a little shaking as well, you know what happens after an earthquake, don't you, in here? You've watched it happen before. You can't hardly get in after an earthquake. When things start to happen, people remember where they heard the truth. When things start to happen, people want more truth. And so we watch this thing. God said, I'm going to lift up my messengers. They're going to proclaim the truth. I'm going to put the words in the mouth of my people. And they're going to throng the truth, because my people are going to respond to this. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all Adamites unto me. And this is the destiny.